G'day and welcome to the Hunting Connection podcast. My name is Zach Williams and I am your host. Here we'll connect you with hunters, fishers and outdoor enthusiasts from around the globe. This podcast will share hunting and fishing stories, including past experiences, and tackle the tough hunting stereotypes our community faces. We hope to be a positive influence to those outside the community while also having a laugh along the way. Hope you enjoy the podcast. G'day and welcome to another episode of the Hunting Connection podcast. Today we are coming at you from Hunt Camp in just out of Mansfield, Victoria. I'm here with Callum and Bruce. And yeah, introduce yourself, guys.
Well, my name's Callum. I'm 26 years old and from Victoria. I've lived here all my life.
Whereabouts in Vic you from, mate?
Shepparton. Yeah.
Rough.
No, it's real good.
Land of the painted cows.
I reckon you should go down to Coles Kmart near the bus stops. Real good idea.
Go chat with my mate Briggs, eh? About hunting.
He'd love it. I reckon he'd love it. It'd be the best conversation you can ever have with him.
I've already had that conversation with him. I got told to get fucked.
Oh, well. Been hunting since I was a little tucker, probably about 6 years old with Dad.
Yeah, beautiful.
I reckon ever since I got the license, I think I've just developed into a madman with it. I think if I wasn't going out every second weekend, there's something wrong with me.
That's so good, man.
Yeah.
And this place is freaking spectacular. I was lucky enough to be taken out by yourself and Bruce tonight after the Mansfield Expo, and I was quite lucky and got myself a nice little Samba hind, yeah. 30 metre neck shot. She popped up and all I could see was neck in my scope, and that's where I sent the pill.
I don't think you could ask for a better hunt for meat, you know. I had the fallow deer running around, a few bucks.
Oh, mate. We've probably seen close to 30 fallow deer and maybe eight Samba, yeah. 3 bucks. Had a couple bucks in the crosshairs for a bit and held off the does, you know, scoped him a couple times. I'm like, oh, should I just for meat?
Yeah, had to. Come on, Zach. Wait a second. Come on. See what's over the next one first.
I get a bit excited, but yeah, let the itchy trigger finger. Yeah, send it. What about yourself, Bruce?
Name's Bruce from Shepparton. Unfortunately, originally from Gippsland, 43, haven't been hunting real long, haven't shot a whole lot of deer, but just enjoy getting out there and
shot
getting amongst
it. Shot some
nice Samba. Yeah, shot myself a pretty nice first Samba stag last year.
Beautiful. It was
pretty cracking weekend.
So how'd you get into hunting and what made you get into hunting?
I've always sort of done just pest eradication, really, growing up on a dairy farm and all that sort of stuff. And we always just used to, you know, get rid of the pest birds that were in the crops and stuff like that.
Yeah, beautiful.
Foxes and rabbits.
Foxes and rabbits, and you know, over the crops you get the galahs and cockies and all that. And then just met a few blokes that were into deer hunting. I never really sort of saw myself as a deer hunter. And yeah, went away a few times with them and got barked at by a Samba for the first time, not knowing that they actually bark at you and scare the shit out of me.
Yeah, that old honk's
yep, and
he was having nightmares for weeks.
kind of got me hooked after that, and shot a little tiny Samba stag for me first deer that I ever shot, solo hunt. I was supposed to go hunting with a mate. He was supposed to give me a guided hunt on his property. And he had a bit too much to drink the night before. And he didn't even get out of bed until we got back to camp, so...
Oh, no.
That was a bit of a...
There's always a bit of that, you know. I've had a few mates that are a bit too hungover to come out.
I think you would have appreciated shooting it solo over having someone walk with you. I think you would have been much more hooked on. Like, it might have taken you a couple of goes after being guided
I've done a fair few hunts. I've done a couple of hunts with a mate, sort of half showing me the ropes, and then done a few hunts on my own, bumped a few deer, never really got a shot on them. And then, yeah, just to get that little Samba stag that first time, it was pretty bit of a surreal experience.
You know, that's awesome, and now you're hooked. Now you see yourself as a deer hunter.
Now I'm hooked, and we're pretty much cold of months up the bush every second weekend.
And what a beautiful part of the country this is, man. Like, oh, yeah. I shit on Victoria all the time, mainly because I hate Melbourne and Shepparton.
I think we hate Melbourne just as much as you do.
But, yeah, country Vic's just gorgeous. Like, driving out here today is just the high checking countries. Out the hills is just beautiful.
The high country is just a different ball game. It's just it's always something to look at. There's always something to do, you know? Like, if you're an outdoorsy person, this is the place to be.
Yeah, I came up here to one of the ski resorts when I was like 13, and that's before I kind of knew that there was deer out this way, came out snowboarding and shit. But fuck, if I seen a deer out here, I would have never left. I would have been the I would have been the button man. I would have been, you know, from 13 living out here chasing deer. But yeah, so we all came out here for the Mansfield Hunting Expo, the street expo.
Yep.
What do we think of that?
Oh, it's a good first hit out. I don't think you could ask for anything better. Like, realistically, they even said it themselves. They were worried about how big it was really going to be, and what it actually turned out to be
How many people you reckon were there?
They reckon there was about 10,000 come through.
And they were expecting.
Jesus Christ.
They were expecting 4, and they got 10.
Jesus.
So, yeah, it was pretty
rough. It was busy. Like, I was working the high country hunting gear stand, helping Dano out majority of the day, and it just was full on. He was pretty much sold out all of his gear that he brought, which is freaking epic.
Yeah,
and it was just people after people. Got to meet a bunch of people that listen to the podcast and put a bunch of names to faces. So shout out to you guys that came in and said g'day, and sorry for those ones that I missed or didn't recognise. I reckon next expos we need to wear all our Instagram handles on our shirts.
I reckon that's the way to go, isn't it? It was definitely, and I reckon Mansfield Home Fishing done a good job introducing local young brands, you know, like early on brands. Like we still had the Spikers and stuff like that, Yeti, but there was just heaps of other things that, like, you probably wouldn't see at the big wild deer expo.
It was a bit cheaper for them to get a spot.
It's free entry too.
Yeah.
Free entry for everyone else. And
my original plan was to take the podcast gear and walk around and chat to people, but it was just too busy and too hard to do. It was just so busy.
It's full on. And I don't reckon and the noise, it was sick. Like, it's what us hunters want.
Like,
a lot
compared
more of.
To the wild deer expo, because it was in a public place, it wasn't like in a hall like the wild deer expos have been in the past. It was in the middle of Mansfield, in the main strip. You got people that don't hunt, don't know nothing about deer hunting, and they're watching people butcher and deer up on the stage, then cook them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you got like the Traeger stand had venison cheeseburgers, and fuck me dead, were they some of the nicest cheeseburgers. Like, these guys have
we missed out on it. We're going to have to send them a private message and ask for a cheeseburger, I reckon.
Oh, I reckon the Traeger needs to start up a cheeseburger freaking fast food chain.
A private expo, maybe, just for us.
We won't be able to hunt after that. But, what was some of the highlights for you fellas? What stalls did you like, and
where do you start? I think the Spiker and the Hunter's Island, the Ridgeline, I think that was good how they done that. It was like going into a mini store.
Yeah.
It was like coming into Mansfield Hunting Fishing, but a much bigger, more variety, heaps of help. Everyone was there to help and talk about the products compared to, you know.
Yeah, you had any help? Brett in there.
Yeah.
Helping out, and I don't think he got to leave that stand. He was in there.
He sold his
day.
Last backpack with me. He sold it. This bloke was behind me. He was trying to sell it to me, and he ended up, is he going to buy it? I'm like, here you go for it. You buy it. That's all right, man. You buy it.
What about yourself, Bruce? What did you like from today? What did you take away?
It was just an all around good experience. Like, seeing I like the taxidermy mounts.
Yeah.
You know, seeing the different ways people were doing things. And
have you been to any of the deer expos in the past?
Been to the Wild Deer Expo probably 3 or 4 times before. The deer expo is a bit different. Like, it's good, but it's more crammed in, and like, because it's in a building, you're overheating.
Yeah.
You don't have fans, and you sort of, it makes you not want to be there for too long.
Yeah, I went to Myrtlesford and Bendigo a few years back now, and both of them were good. I enjoyed them, but it was, had nothing on what this was like.
Yeah, I did the year two in March, I think, for everyone.
Oh, and the weather, just how good was the weather today? It was a bit windy in the start off, but...
So we didn't get there till late.
The sun was a bit of a... had a bit of sting to it, but the breeze had come through and it had just take that bit of that chist sting off it, and it was just a beautiful day.
Oh, it was really good. Did you guys get anything? Did you buy anything?
We had to buy some to get into the raffle. We've got to try and win those raffles, man. So we just brought some stuff that, you know, you always think of that you want, but you just go, not just yet. So I think that's why I brought just a t-shirt and shorts. Bruce bought himself a hunting top.
Bought myself a new Hunter's Element summer hunting top.
Yeah,
long,
beautiful.
Long sleeve with the face shield built into it.
Is that what you're wearing out today?
That
or?
What I wore today, yeah. Probably a little bit warm around the neck with the shield on it for this afternoon's hunt, but...
She was a bit sweaty.
It is what it is, though.
You got to do it for the Samba. You have to be covered for Samba.
It was a cool hunt. Like I've said, I've hunted them in the past. I shot my stag under spotlight on private property 7-ish years ago, but going out there and seeing the numbers was just awesome. Yeah. Didn't get honked, I don't think.
Got honked when you shot.
Yeah,
when just before
I
you
think
shot.
I was just
You were in the moment.
Yeah, in the moment.
I heard I was just a bit behind, looking in different areas.
And then you were on your bloody Samba call, and I'm like trying to work out: did that hind have a fawn with her? What's going on?
There was two more. They ran off in front of you, and then there was one. There must have been a one above, a bigger one, because that's the one that she came riding behind me. I'm like thinking, it must be a fallow deer, and then I'm still blowing it, and here comes this big hind, and I'm standing on the middle of the log, unbalanced. I'm like, oh crap! I'm trying to run around the gun, and she just took off, and I'm just
I kind of remember them honking now.
Yeah,
like I was walking down a log, and I was glassing up some fallow just to see if there was any bucks in amongst them. And I spooked a doe, and she ran off. And then I took another step, and she blew. And then stopped. And then I just raised the scope. All I could see was neck and head, and sent it 30 metres and dropped her on the spot. And then you've started blowing the Samba call and slowly made your way over. And you're like, did you get it? I'm like, nah, man.
I was like, shit. I was hesitant. I was real keen to get over there when you told me that. I was like, fuck. Now we're going to look for another one. You just pulled the trigger on us. And I'm like, where am I going now?
But the whole time I was standing on top of her because she dropped 30 metres. I was just fucking with him until he walked straight up onto me. And he's like, you did fucking get it.
There is blood there. What the hell?
So it was a nice little pack out. Not too bad.
We walked a bit, probably not the direct route, but we were still trying to chase another deer. Would have been nice to knock over. Like
seen heaps of fallows, seen real, some real pretty skins.
Yeah.
Some real nice meanals, that albino.
Yeah, that's it.
That white one. Some real nice dark skins. Those couple bucks we spooked at the start.
There was two deep. They would have been deep. They were decent Victorian heads, that's for sure.
Yeah, this drive, like, the whole time before this trip, you're telling me, like, you got a good chance. You got a good chance. I'm like, okay, no worries, I wasn't getting my hopes too high because I didn't want to get disappointed when I got here.
And you can't with Samba, though. Anyway, like, it's one of those things that, like, you're after a Samba, and I told you, I said, this Samba ran fallow, like, we're going to get meat. But, like, it's no different than me and Bruce. We're going away every second weekend. Camera's out.
Yeah.
You know they're there. And it's just...
Yeah. Some weekends, you'll see 30 or 40 Samba for the weekend in a couple of different areas. And then other weekends, you'll go up and you'll spend 3 days walking around. And you'll
see 10 deer the whole three days.
You'll barely see a deer.
Oh, that was basically my first Samba trip.
Yeah.
And, like, it is what it is. Like, you tell people how many deer you see... And then one of them goes, oh, right, I'll come for a hunt. So you take someone up and then there's no deer. And they go, well, but you told me there's always deer here. Well, 9 times out of 10, there is deer here. You get the off day,
Well, that's what I was expecting. Knowing my luck, I was expecting it was the off day, But, driving in, seeing a ton of fallow, you're like, there's a fallow. I'm like, sure there is, mate. I'm like, you're just saying shit. You're just, like, trying to get me fucking
Gene you up, gene you up, man.
Yeah, that's it. And then I seen the couple you're pointing at. I'm like, oh shit, there's more, and then you're like, oh, there's two Samba. I'm like, fuck off. And you're like, and I'm like, oh, and you're like, wait, they're coming over this rise now. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. I was ready to jump out of the car. And then when we did jump out of the car, when we pulled up, you've handed me my rifle. I've gone to put my ammo in the mag, and then Samba takes off.
Yeah.
Samba, you're like, don't just talk, fucking shoot it.
Shoot the bastard.
20 metres from the side of the ute, straight down into a gully.
It was only a little calf, but blew me away. I'm like, oh my God, there's deer everywhere. This makes South Australia look fucking shit.
It's just, I think it all comes down to putting the time in the bush. And when people say that, you think instantly of putting time in one spot. Well, if the deer aren't there and you're not seeing a whole lot of sign, find another spot. You know, just pick a bush. Pick a bush. I'm telling you now, they're in them hills.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy country. Like, it's just absolutely gorgeous.
And sometimes you just don't expect the deer to be hanging around there as much as you go, oh, it's too close. Or it's, you know, this spot just doesn't look that nice. And then you walk in first gully and then you go, ooh, hang on, this is some good sign here.
There's lots of rubs, and like, we started noticing the rubs and a couple of small scrapes, and then we spooked those two bucks.
Yeah,
and they looked like they had some good lengths in them. At first, when I seen the antlers, I'm like, ooh, Samba stag.
Yeah,
but they had some real good length on them.
No, it was it's a good hunt at this time of the year. I think in the warmer months it's a much different ball game to once that weather starts cooling in.
Well, like, September, I'm coming back, yeah. And we're gonna get a stag.
I told you, after you cook that feed, I'm gonna have to tie a stag up to a tree, I reckon. We're gonna have to go up there for taser and
So as soon as we got back to camp, while the boys were getting wood, I cranked out the gas stove and cooked some beef steaks up, some minute steaks, some bacon, eggs. Grab one of the tenderloins off of the Samba and cook that up, and made everyone some wraps. After New Zealand, wraps are my go-to freaking thing for deer camp.
They're very easy, aren't they? And they're probably less messier than
not even
else.
New Zealand. Mexico was the first time, because there was no bread. When I went over to Mexico, there was no bread really in the shops. It was all tortillas.
Yeah, okay.
So all cooking whitetail and javelina and stuff straight over the fire.
Yeah.
And on this little wind-up grill on mesquite wood, and we're just eating everything on tortillas with like this lime mayo that had like citrusy.
Yeah,
oh, so freaking good. And
what do you reckon the taste is difference between Australian fallow deer Samba compared to a whitetail?
Well, it's different because where I was hunting them is like a real deserty,
dry area, place, yep.
And they're all corn fed.
Yeah.
Whitetail, I'd put down as, from what I've had being those Mexican deer, would be the lowest of the deer species I've had.
Yeah, okay.
Where fallow are like high middle.
Yep.
Reds a bit above that. Samba above that. Hoggy above that. But the best venison I've had is Sika.
Yep.
And that was over in New Zealand. I'm not sure if it was just because I failed on that hunt and my mate shot one. And got to wrap it in bacon and cook it in bacon grease.
Yeah.
And it was just fucking so good because I was cold and miserable and hating life. And I injured my knee and I was sore. So I was just, you know, I also cooked a rabbit up on that trip that I shot. Like, I missed three deer with a bow. Yeah. One at 25, one at 30, one at 40, and smoked a rabbit at 35.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, after missing two deer, I smoked a rabbit at 35 with a bow.
Yeah.
And I was fucking spewing. And like, even the, I turned down shooting a nice little stag with a rifle at 80 metres. I missed him with a bow. He ran out. My mate handed me the rifle. He's like, shoot it. And I've held up, scoped him on the vitals, finger on the trigger, and then just let down and gave it back to him. I'm like, nah, can't do it. I want to get one with a bow. That's a real sore spot for me.
Oh, look, we've all shanked shots before. Like, it happens.
It wasn't shank. It was just I didn't shoot. I just gave him the rifle and said,
yeah,
I can't
with
do
your
this.
With your bow. Like, you miss those couple of deer. Like, it happens. Like, you get, you know, you're a bit of adrenaline pumping.
Yeah.
You might you know, just flinch a little bit as on your release. You know, same pull trigger.
I think you get a bit excited. I think that's the main thing. You get excited and it's
buck fever.
It's like, yeah, it's, literally. You've just got to learn, and it comes over more and more experiences.
Yeah, see, with the rifle, I don't get it as much, but with the bow, because you get it's like different. Even though that doe, that hind I shot tonight was at 30, I wasn't like I was pumped, but I wasn't. It's not as shaky.
It's like a live stream, really, isn't it? Yeah. Like when you watch something, like it's not even, I suppose, like an AFL game. Like people like say,
being, who watches that shit?
Oh, yeah. But like being at a sporting venue, being at there's. Is just a different experience as watching TV, but like I'm one of those people that I love watching it on the TV just as much as I like watching it at the venue, and it's probably the same thing. Like people probably love watching it off a screen, or
you
when you're in the bar, it's all live in the scope. It just feels like it feels like a little screen sometimes.
No,
it doesn't feel surreal.
That's a cool little way of looking at it for sure.
I've noticed myself, and I reckon it's probably just been more and more after shooting mature animals and getting on top of some stags and bucks. It's just been like, oh, hang on, like if I just take that little bit more, it just I can get things right, and it just doesn't feel like I've got as much pressure on.
That's nuts. So when did you take your first deer?
I think I was 16 with Dad chasing fallow deer.
Yeah, beautiful.
Had a few croaking, and this one Dad was looking in the binos, and I've just spotted it with an eye, bent down one knee, bang, and he's, what the hell? What? Like, and I think in the first year is more of a here, you know, like it's like a foreign thing to someone. But I've been hunting with Dad since I was 6, 7, 8 years old.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've just sort of, I suppose, watching him, and he probably doesn't realise, I just watched him and going, okay, this is how you do it.
So was he always a deer hunter?
Yes. Yep. As far as I know, yes. He just got brought into it as a mate, early 60s, 70s or something like that. And he fell in love with it, and brought straight into me, which I don't think a teenage boy could, like, you know, be ever regretful for that. I think that's the best thing you could ever pass down to someone, is learn how to hunt.
Yeah, that's it. Like, all of my learning how to hunt memories were through my pop, and it was the same thing. Like, my earliest memories are going out hunting and fishing with him, and, you know, it was all goats and rabbits and foxes and stuff like that back in those days. Yeah. Deer weren't so prevalent.
Deer were bare minimum. Like Dad still tells me his day, like, when I first started, there wasn't many 30-inch stags getting shot then. Now there's every magazine, there's about 20 of them, just like that.
Yeah, like, chatting to Pop, because he hasn't shot a deer still to this day. I've been trying to get him out, but he's getting a bit older and frail these days, so it's a bit harder. And like I said, I'll drive you out there and you can shoot one out the car. And he's like, I don't want to shoot one out the car.
Yeah,
like,
what's the full experience type thing?
He's just not interested these days. But yeah, going out with him, you know, like I learned the hard ways, you know, being a, you know, 7, 8 year old kid coming up on some goats stuck in a dam.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, oh, sweet, I get an opportunity to shoot one now. They can't get away. Pop's like, no, you're not shooting one. He's like, that's pull them out. So we pulled them out in the mud and let them go. And I was, 6 or 7. I was freaking.
You don't understand it.
I was livid. I didn't understand. Yeah. I'm like, well, why can we shoot them when they're drinking, but we can't shoot them when they're stuck in the mud? They're right there.
Destroyed my dreams.
Yeah, I was livid, man. And, you know, then I got an opportunity to shoot at some goats that day, and like, I can't remember shooting my first goat, but I remember missing these goats because to this day, this is when I was 7 or 8 years old.
Yeah.
To this day, my pop still gives me shit. I'm 30 years old now. He goes, oh, you know, when you see goats with their tails sticking up, they're giving you the finger like, ha, fuck you, you missed. And to this day, from 7 or 8, that's burnt in my memory.
Yeah.
You know, every animal I shoot, that conversation, that shit stirring that Pop gave me as a kid is imprinted. You know,
right.
The same trip I won the .22 Hornet from him, which is today my favorite gun that I own, you know. We got lost in the bush, took the compass reading too close to the car, and it put us off about, you know, 2-3 km the wrong direction. But he's like, yeah, if you can hold this back to the car, it's yours.
Beautiful.
what would be your fondest memory from hunting with your dad growing up? Or even like today, have you?
I think it still has to be my first sambar and the first fallow deer.
Yeah.
Like, I think the excitement dad had towards me, like, the fallow deer one, like, he just couldn't say it enough. Like, you know, he did it all himself. I didn't have to show him. You know, it was like an instinct thing.
That's sick.
And the same with the sambar, like, you know, like I had a few moments where I've missed stags, missed deer, you know, and then finally got this 24-inch, and that's how you do it, you know, like real pumped. It's like a football game, kicking a goal or something, you know, to me.
That's great.
And it was just, oh, I think that's my best. And then a bit earlier, Dad said just had a bit of heart issues and stuff like that. And
yeah.
I think he's just starting to realise that, you know, it's not forever anymore.
Yeah.
And I think the last hunt we did at Gatta, won a Gatta trip, and had a blast. Like, we've seen a few deer, and I think sitting down watching them, me and him sort of, I think we both took it in and just went like, this is it, you know? this is what living is.
I can't wait to experience that with my boys. I do a few morning trips here and there. This April, I'll try and talk the oldest into coming out with me, see if he wants to. He's real obsessed with his soccer and technology these days, so it's a bit harder to get him out. But, you know, the other day he asked me if I could take him out to shoot a goat. I'm like, well, I can. Yeah. But you have to come out with me, and you have to shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot.
Yep.
Like, you show your interest, I'll take you out, mate.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I would love nothing more than to take you out to shoot a goat. And then once you shoot a goat, you can come shoot a deer.
Yeah.
The youngest, he turns 4 in April. He is so stoked to come out.
Yeah.
All he wants to do is come out.
I remember watching your stories. That's sick, man. I can't wait for that.
He's been coming out since he was 6 months old, man. Like, he was 4 or 5 days old, and I had him on a chest harness.
Yeah.
Butchering a fallow deer on our kitchen bench.
Yeah.
Like, his first solid food was venison.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he absolutely thrust.
He may not be great at being quiet, but he's there, you know?
And that's the thing, when you take kids out that young, you have to expect them to be quiet. You have to just go with the flow. They're going to scare everything away, but you're out there and letting them get used to it.
Yeah.
So hopefully this rut, he'll get to see his first deer down.
Yeah.
He hasn't seen one shot yet. But his next thing is he wants to go shark fishing.
Oh, Jesus. So different ball game altogether, you know?
Yep. Dad, I want to catch a shark. Dad, I want to catch a stingray. All right, let's go.
That's a dude start wheeling that bastard in.
I was almost going to hit old mate out from Shark to Shore today, Nick.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, hey, maybe I need to bring the young fella out with you, and we can let this little 4-year-old catch a, you know, a 4-foot bronzy.
Yeah. What about you, Bruce? Like, you've had a bit different, where your father wasn't so much into shooting deer.
My old man, like, he's never shot a gun in his life.
Yeah, wow.
Both of his brothers, my uncles, they're both shooters. They've done bits and pieces. Not a lot. The uncle that lives in Shep with us, or near us, he, like, used to shoot a lot of rabbits back in the day because he loved his feed of rabbits, so he used to shoot a fair few rabbits. But yeah, my old man, like, we grew up on the farm, he always worked on the farm, we always worked on the farm, but he's just got no interest in shooting. Like, and that's fair enough, like, each to their own.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I never really had a lot of that growing up. I had neighbours that, you know, sort of got me into hunting a little bit and just shooting in general. And now it's just a whole different ballgame. Like,
what about, do you have kids or nephews or anything that you want to get out? Or
I've got a couple of nephews, but it's more like their parents. Like, my sister has got her gun license, but she doesn't shoot. Their father's got his gun license, but he doesn't shoot a lot. We've had them out a little bit. We used to shoot up parks a bit, and they've been with us, you know, shooting the odd goat and pigs and stuff up in parks. But yeah, I think the technology just takes them over too much. They're just not interested. They'd rather sit at home with a screen in front of them. And
that's one thing I want to say about today at the expo. How many kids were there?
Yeah. It was unreal.
I don't think I've seen a crying or screaming kid at all. These kids had smiles on their face.
Yeah.
They were eating the venison cheeseburgers and venison hot dogs.
Like, and so keen for it. Like, some of them wearing winter summer hunting tops. And like, are you mad? What the hell? No, I'm just keen.
They were in hunter's element. I reckon he would have been two. Barely walking, and he was cruising around, or she was cruising around in a little hunter's element hoodie, and it was so good to see.
And the moment Mel from Mansfield Hunt Fishing said, "I got 20 cats hats to give out to the kids," bang! I reckon there was about 100 of them just run there. And I want to know what she would have done with the rest of the kids that missed out. There was a few around though. There was heaps. It's good. I like seeing the younger generation get involved because it just brings hope, I suppose.
Get away from that. You know, get away from the screens. Don't worry about playing games. Get out in the bush. Like, even if you just get out in the bush and just go for a walk.
See, it's hard because I grew up in that generation where the games were starting to get big, and you would have been there as they were a bit bigger. You know, I had a Game Boy, I had a Xbox, a PlayStation, all of that stuff. I liked playing them. I enjoy it. I think you can do both, but you can't pressure the kids into doing both. You have to have that. And it's good having Wi-Fi in that now, because like when we go on trips, I can turn my phone's Wi-Fi on, and if the kids are getting annoyed or upset or tired or whatever, they can kind of just chill out and have their alone time, their peace.
I suppose it's just finding the balance.
Yeah.
But where do you draw the line? Like, we growing up, we used to not have that, you know. We used to have zero-dot Facebook and stuff like that back when, that was around.
Well,
like,
did your little...
Anyway.
I didn't have Facebook
But, like, we, you know, we'd come out the bush and you might get a little bit of something out of it, but...
Here we are shitting on technology, but we're doing a podcast around the fire.
Correct. Where's the line draw, you know? But, I do sort of agree with Bruce. I think getting out, going out, just have a crack.
Yeah.
And the more you do, the more, you know, the more they'll appreciate it. And I've got mates still to this day that grew up around that technology, grew up around just not enjoying the bush, maybe doing a bit of fishing like a lot of people do grow up doing. And now they're all sort of like, oh, Callum, what the hell? Like, this looks real good. Like, it's fun going up the bush, high country, snow, trout fishing, shooting deer. Like,
it's funny. Eating. I've touched on that before, like, growing up, I was always the outcast kid because I didn't like sports. I hate football, I hate cricket, I hate basketball, I fucking can't stand all of that.
Yeah.
So on weekends, I'd go hunting and fishing with my grandparents and my parents and stuff. And so, like, you know, show and tell on Monday, kids are like, oh, you know, I got this trophy for playing fucking this sport. And I'm coming in with a goat's head or a fox skin or a fox tail.
Oh, exactly.
You know? Like, I shot this or pop shot this and, you know, goat skins. Like, you know, the type of reactions I was getting from teachers and that, bringing goat's heads and horns and animal parts. And, you know, we'd go out yabbing and I'd bring in, a tub full of yabbies. You know, show and tell, I'd bring in my pet snake.
You know,
it's like, I was always the outcast. Even through, like, high school and that. And then, like, some guys through high school started getting into hunting and stuff.
Yeah.
And they'd talk to me about it. But since school finished and I got, like, real deep into hunting, like, everyone that I ever had issues with in high school have all hit me up since finishing high school. And they're like, oh, man, I love what you do. You're so good. How can I do this? How can I get out? You know, can we come out with you someday? And it's like, you know, we all move on from fucking high school.
Correct.
But, yeah, it's killer chatting to people about it. Because it's something that I've always been passionate about. But no one was at that level yet. Everyone was still in their sports, their video games, whatnot. And there's me, you know, hunting whenever I could and fishing. Mm. And that's all I'd chat about is, you know, conservation, hunting.
Yep. See, I grew up loving sports and the hunting. And I actually reckon since I've gotten older, it's more, I love my hunting over my sports.
Yeah.
Like, I still love me sports, the bits. But, like, I'll gladly miss a weekend of going and play football to go away bush.
Yeah. So it never appealed to me. I would sit down and I'd be going through the grass, picking up crickets and freaking millipedes, and I'm like, this is where I want to be.
Yeah.
Fucking, chilling with nature. Why do I want to? I can't kill a deer with a football.
We could try. I don't know how successful you'd be, but you could have a crack. You good kick?
No,
probably not.
No. Terrible. Terrible kick. Terrible throw. You know, I'm okay at making stuff dead for the freezer, but that's about all.
I bet you could throw a lure out though.
Yep.
I bet you know how to do that
flick
one.
A lure,
same thing, different smell.
We'll have to test that out in the morning. See if I can. You fellas are trying to catch some fish before I got here, so let's see if I can outshow yous.
Yes, yes. Well, there's a few jumping around in that river down there, so we'll see if we can wick one up.
How good's that? Just trout, deer. Fallow,
camping in the bush, and like once, especially this weekend's turned it on with the coolness in the later in the night and then early morning. I think it's 9 degrees tomorrow, so that's like that's perfect for walking really in this time of the year. That's like I don't think you could ask for anything better.
Yeah, it's big weekend. I left Adelaide 2 p.m. Friday, got in about an hour outside of Mansfield on Friday night. About 11, 12 o'clock, pulled over, rolled the swag out, slept on the side of the road, finished it up in the morning, got into Mansfield, shit, 8:30-ish, and then, started helping everyone out and having a look around, and it just went on. But, I've got, 36 hours in Vic, and, 20 of it's driving.
Yeah, you just got to make the most of it, don't you? Like, that's the same for us just on weekend hunts, Friday night, you knock off work, head up the bush. You got to make the most of it. You know, don't sit there procrastinating. Oh, I'm a bit tired. Just get out there and just have a crack.
Like I said to you, you Victorians don't know how fucking lucky you are.
No, don't worry. We see it on the Facebook groups and stuff.
You see
it. But we understand that.
I don't think you understand it.
It'd be that hard to get property access, let alone. Seeing deer on private property.
Like, New South Wales has an okay system where you,
book
a state forest, but Vic, where you can just rock up and...
Rock up anywhere. There's a hunter in that gully, I'll go to the next one. Like, it's good. It's,
I think you guys just understand what it's like. Like, yes, you guys go door knocking and stuff like that, but when that's your only option...
Yeah.
It's just, and like in South Australia, especially the hills, the deer are nowhere near what it's like here.
It's,
this is my, third Victorian hunting trip. First was Samba over in East Gippsland.
Yeah.
With one of my American mates, one of my old mates, and another one of my mates, Nick. And so I got showed around and got a basic understanding of it all. And then second hunt was hog deer on Snake Island. Last year,
but that's every hog deer hunter's dream right there, man. That is every hog deer hunter's dream.
But I'm happy. Every Vic trip I've done for a hunt, I've come out successful, lucky. Touch wood.
Touch the wood. So hopefully in September we can hit another milestone with a decent mature stag. I reckon
that'll be epic, and then. Left for me will be Chittle
and Roosa. Don't worry, I'll be tagging along with you.
I'll have to repay you for the stag you're going to tie to a tree for me.
What is it, 28 inches? All right, I'll make sure he won't grow anymore. they don't come around often, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, it's so good. And just, Samba's completely different to... there is small Samba populations in SA, but it's, you're hunting them on frickin' sand flats in loosened paddocks, it's not like this at all.
In the bush, thick bush,
Samba would do well in the Adelaide Hills. We have parts of the hills that are like this.
Yeah.
They just sadly never got released, and no one ever releasing me in the Adelaide Hills. Please don't.
Don't do it. Terrible idea. Do you hear the winking?
It's my dream.
Oh, I think it'd be great for the world to have, the whole of Australia to have deer running around everywhere. That's a hunter's idea, but in the reality and realistic world we live in, it's
not really the greatest idea in the world,
is
it?
Ecological side of things.
Yeah.
It's not great.
Probably, if the more numbers, it's probably actually bad for us hunters. They're probably just going to do more aerial culls, more, you know, professional shooters going out just slaughtering them, and us stalkers and stuff were just left to play with our thumbs.
Guys' thoughts on aerial culling and the culling they do?
Oh, it's not great. Like, I started off as just a meat hunter. Like, after I started shooting a few deer, I was just so happy to just shoot meat. Like, I wasn't interested in shooting stags. I was just happy to shoot meat, bring some meat home for the family, you know. And then, yeah, see all this aerial culling, and they're like, they shoot deer, they wound a lot of deer. The deer go to water, they pollute the waterways with the rotten bodies.
Yeah.
Meat's all going to waste. Like, they could do it a lot better. Like, they could open more bush up to hunters, even if they've got to do a competency test to make sure the hunters can shoot properly.
Yeah.
And they know what they're doing.
And I think we'd all pay more to be able to do that too. Like, it's what, for your deer stalking permit here in Vic, it's what, $63 for a year or 60 something?
I think that is a general. And then, yeah, concessions a bit cheaper. Yeah. I think it's a bit of waste, I think. I suppose in certain areas where it's real thick and dense, but how are they going to pin it? It's a weird, yeah, like I said, it's another one of those things, where do you draw the line? I think there's definitely a lot of places where, in national parks, where stalkers and hound hunters would have a run and could do a lot of damage to get rid of the deer populations and reduce them. And at the same time,
but
I don't
think they will want to reduce them, though? Like, do you think the issue is why they're not opening them up to hunters, because hunters only want to go in there and shoot heads,
well,
for the most part.
Well, why not do a system where tagging's something to involve, you know? Hog deer tags, no different. You've got to bring the whole body out.
Yeah.
What about something similar to that? You know, there's...
But a Sambar's a lot freaking harder to...
No, but look, if you brought out... just say if they said something like bring out back legs and back straps and stuff like that,
yeah.
Look... You know, there would be a way to get around it in terms of getting the most out of it. Because at the moment, they're just shooting a lot of deer here and leaving the whole body there. At least either hound hunters and stalkers are going to take out meat.
Yeah,
and
but do you think it's more the trophy aspect if they say, we're opening this up, and guys are in there going, oh, we're letting every deer walk that's not a 30-inch stag.
Well,
so numbers aren't going down, they're only... Like, playing devil's advocate here.
Yeah. Well, why not try and have a run with... hound hunters actually, like, they go in, they shoot everything. They shoot all the... They shoot male, female, they don't care, big, young.
So,
like,
Riley Patterson, who I did... I think it's Patterson, who I did Snake Island with last year.
Yeah.
He's told me to go... I should have done my hound hunting permit today.
Yeah.
I'll try and book it in for another time, but he's invited me out, so I'll go get that ticket and go out with him. It'd be an awesome experience,
Oh, it's definitely a different... I've done it a couple of times younger.
Yeah.
I think if you get the right crews, and that's the same with stalkers as well, but if you can get someone that are passionate about it, I know there's a fellow, Stephen Bojanic.
Yep.
He's real passionate about his dogs and hunting and doing the right things and stuff like that, and I think if you do that, you're laughing. It's exciting. It's nearly like a rut type aspect for stalkers, you know, with the bucks.
With a hound,
yeah, the dogs barkle. Here they come. Get ready. It's something similar to that, you know, like, and, you know, you don't know whether it's a stag, young one, anything. Put it down, get some meat, you know, and there's such a big number, you know, you might have 5 people in the crew or something like that, and everyone's got meat, or maybe if you only shoot one deer, it's one deer, you know, but I definitely think that hound hunters and stalkers could put a dent in the population in areas where they're aerial culling better and more efficient than what these aerial culls are doing.
100%, I agree with that fully. Like,
yeah.
Even if, like, you did the, you know, for areas flat like South Australia, if you did had legalized deer drives where you're running dogs through scrub and pushing them out, because southeast South Australia, where it's all, where majority of the deer population is, like,
yeah,
we've got five species of deer down there,
yep,
plus the crossbreeds.
Yeah.
If you had deer drives with dogs and just people standing on the other side, you could do some real damage.
Yeah.
Like full on, you know, America style deer.
Yeah. Where they, but and why aren't we taking leafs out of their books? Like, America have done it so well, where they've hunted them hard to extinction nearly, and then they brought them back
We're hunting them to, quote unquote, eradicate them rather than conserve them like America.
Yeah, but and what? But issue. If we got to that point where we're doing the right thing, letting hunters go in everywhere, and, you know, taking out decent numbers year in, year out,
yeah,
we could get to the point where it's conservation, and I suppose not many of us would actually appreciate getting to the stage where we've got to draw for tags, but I think we'd appreciate the animal a lot more, and as all hunters do, we appreciate the every deer, every species to hunt a lot more than what other people think we are. They think that we're just heartless, but we love it, and it's just, yeah. And I reckon we are, you know, we could get to that stage, but
I don't think we'll ever get to eradication.
Nah.
Unless they invent some complete new way of doing it, especially because all deer spit. Like goats, you could see it doing the whole Judas thing where they put the
pigs,
tracking
goats
collar on it and, you know, shoot every goat but the track goat, and that goes to the next lot of goats. Deer don't really do that, especially Sambar.
Sambar are just different ball game. Yeah.
But how well do those animals fit into the Australian landscape? Like, Sambar just seem like they belong here.
Correct.
Especially even the fallow out where we're at.
Yeah.
Those gullies. Like, you hear on Facebook, like, if you see fallow, you're not going to see Sambar. And that was one of my questions to you today while we're out. I'm like, so what's the go with Sambar and fallow? Do they, like, you know, feed on opposite faces and stay away from each other? And you were saying, like, nah, just extra eyes.
It's extra eyes. No different to kangaroos, yeah, and stuff. They're just extra eyes in the field, really. And like, they might not be feeding next to each other, but they can be within 50 metres, 20, 30 metres from each
and
other.
That's what I seen tonight. You know,
correct.
The Sambar that I spooked and shot one.
They're all in the same gully.
They were in the same gully as the fallow, which was
correct.
Just,
and there
that
was,
blew my mind, you know.
Yeah, it's...
Like, I've seen reds and fallow together and a couple of rooster and stuff, but yeah.
Mm.
It's cool seeing different species in the same group.
Oh, yeah. It gets you, your heart going a bit more too. You just don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're going to shoot a big Sambar or a big fallow. Like, just, ooh,
Sambar,
what's coming at me?
Sambar is just completely different to fallow, which is just...
They're so tough to hunt.
Tough to hunt, but you got the fallow, you know. Like, we've seen at least 30 fallow.
Yeah.
At least. And, you know, there was groups of five, groups of six, and they just feed in crews. Well, I didn't see a single Sambar feeding. The only Sambar I seen were moving.
Yeah, they're just a lot. They're just a different instinct. They're smarter, and it's you step on a twig and they're pinpointed you from the get go. Like, and you got to have the wind right, all that sort of stuff. Cover.
Like,
we had plenty of cover.
The wind was right for that.
Yeah,
Sambar,
it was. But they were just onto us. We just
You're about 100 meters behind. Oh. You kind of went down to the left.
Yeah,
I was glassing
a little bit differently. And
yeah.
Well, I was only probably 50, 20 metres away from you, really, at the end. And I was just stuffing around a bit more, I suppose. I love getting the binos up, seeing what's around.
Yeah, and that's what I was doing. I was trying to move into a spot where I could watch these fallows.
Yeah.
And then, bam, Sambar.
Here's some Sambar.
Incredible.
That's been plenty of times where me and Bruce have just gone, oh, there's one. And then you just... where you don't expect them. Oh, what the hell? Like,
that's the next thing I want to do is, like, actually just get to a position where I can watch Sambar just feeding that. Because, like I said, every Sambar I've seen has been spooked.
Yeah, already looking, knowing what's going on.
Yeah, yeah, where I'd like to just watch one where it doesn't know that you're there.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen that maybe once in Vic. You know, just across river, but that's about all. It's just a hind with a young calf just feeding, but I'd like to see some more feeding in that. which I'm keen for set.
Well, Bruce and I were lucky last year. I shot a nice Sambar stag, and then the next day we've gone sort of the back same area, going in to check some cameras out. It's pretty much within 100 metres of where I've shot my stag, is this thing, this tree just going to town. And I've just gone to Bruce, there's a nice stag there. And sure enough, he's pulled down 25, 26 in his head that just had nice shape about him. And it's just like, what the hell? Like, everything you think about Sambar, you shoot one, not going to be there again. What just happened to us? We just shot two good stags in... I think they dropped within 200 metres of each other, technically. So a day apart.
Yeah, and like, a whole year is coming to that. Like, hunting every fortnight for 6 months, pretty much. Like
having a couple of missed opportunities.
Hard. You know, you see the odd stag, but they see you. The morning the Callum shot his, we were only probably 150 metres off the ute. And we had a young doe that wouldn't leave us alone. She was in at about 20 metres. And we couldn't get her to run away. Like, she just wanted to hang around and mirror us up through the bush.
Had to tell Bruce, get off that trigger, get off the trigger. It's been stupid.
So yeah, I finally got her to move, and it would have only been about 50 metres past that. Had a big bit of tea tree off to the right hand side.
Mum and a young one.
The mum blasted us. So I whistled her a couple of times, and every time I whistled, she blasted me. I didn't know why she was doing it like that until she turned and the young one showed itself.
Yeah.
And then, Callum Stag broke cover and went up in the bush a bit, and Callum ripped into it, and, you know, the chase was on. Sambar's a pretty hard animal. If you don't put the shot in exactly the right spot, they're not going to drop on the spot. A bit of a run through the bush, chasing after this wounded deer, and, you know, ended up getting it on the ground, which was, you know, pretty cool experience. So someone else doing it. And then the next morning, went in, decided we'll check the cameras. We didn't want to hunt because we'd had a broken down car and, you know, not much sleep. It wasn't a great weekend, like, to start with. Just ended up, we didn't get to the cameras a lot yesterday because of that stag. We better go and check our cameras again today. And, pretty much got in where the doe blasted us. We were pretty close to there.
Yeah, just pretty much on that spot.
Yeah, my dog was working pretty good. He was scenting pretty hard. And so I was looking one direction, Callum was looking the other, and Callum goes, something just ran off. And I went, oh, bugger. He goes, no, hang on a minute, it's still there. And it wasn't until you put the binos up you could see this deer. Like, it was just raking a tree. So, positioned myself for a shot. Took me time, a couple of deep breaths. Pretty good shot placement, dropped him on the spot. Didn't have to do much tracking on that one. Yeah. And then walked over there, and it's just a different experience. Like, I've shot plenty of does.
Yeah.
But to put the time in and finally get a stag, like, it's just next level.
I think both mornings were just that pumped. Like, even mine, I'm like sitting down the ground like, oh, you know, like, my car's is broken down and this has just happened, you know, finally. Put in a lot of effort. Like, a couple of weekends before, I think it was might have been the same stag. Didn't get in the rain. Didn't get him up in the scope properly. Next day, Bruce has shot his, and we're just high-fiving and just ready to go, you know. Just full of adrenaline, so happy. And then the hard work began, caping it out. Yeah. And then,
Did you get him taxidermy?
Yeah. He's up. Both of them are actually up at the taxidermist at the minute. 12-month wait to get it back. Yep. So it'll be worth the wait to get him up on the wall.
Got the photos with it, so that's all that matters for now. Then. Once he's hanging on the wall, we'll be...
And I see you still got that photo as your screensaver on your phone.
Oh, yeah. Changed him. So I had a fallow deer, a fallow buck as my screensaver from earlier in the year, because I shot two fallow bucks last year. Never shot a fallow buck before. Shot a one fallow doe. Callum invited me up here last year to chase the fallow bucks, and we're a bit early, a bit before Easter, but we managed to, we rattled in this little buck, and Callum goes, do you want to shoot him? And I went, well, we're up here, we might as well get some meat.
Yeah.
So shot him and, you know, brought the head home. And then just after Easter, we decided to come up for another crack. Callum had been up for a couple of days over Easter. He'd shot a half-decent head. And he said, there's a few more up here, you better come up and have a hunt. So I come up, brought my dog up and put another hunt in, and managed to get not a bad
shocking bad weather. Just rain.
With rain, it was just
terrible.
It was, well, by the time we got back to the car, like, we were just drenched through. Just like, had rain jackets on, still wet both sides.
Yeah. Keep talking, I'll be back. I can listen.
But yeah, no. Yeah, shot him with me pup, and yeah, so it was pretty exciting year. Yeah, shoot two male species of deer within the hunting season. It's pretty cool.
Doesn't happen too often that you get to take on trophy sambar, trophy fallow, just even just putting down, and the quality that we had was second to none, really. Like, I think a lot of people will be killed out of a weekend of shooting two mature stags back to back in a weekend, really.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often.
But we put in the work. It was, yeah, like I said, every second weekend, just put in the kilometres, put in the time of the cameras, figuring out the behaviour, and definitely. I don't think we could have complained about last year, so we're looking forward to this year's being a Kickstarter. It's already started off well, getting you a Sambar on the deck. I think that was the main goal, wasn't it? Really,
it was. The last, like I said to you, coming out the last two years, my first deer for the year of being in Victoria. Last year was hog deer, and this year is Sambar.
Yeah,
the first mental.
It's different. It's just, I don't know. Hunting just gets me excited, and I love it.
I know the feeling.
I can't wait till I'm real old, can't walk in the hills, and I just sit back remembering everything. Gotta make the most of it.
I don't think that's something you should not can't what like you
what do you mean?
You should wait for it.
But like, how good would it be when you're 70, 80 years old, not really walking, and you're telling your grandkids and stuff like that? Mate. Hey, don't worry, I've still got plenty of years left in my legs. I've got the youth on my side at the moment.
Bruce, what would have been a quick track for you to get into, like when you're getting into hunting, something you know now that you wish you knew when you started to help new guys and girls getting into the lifestyle?
I don't know. It's just, like, back when I started, there wasn't a lot of people out there willing to, you know, help people get into it.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone's protective about their properties, and, you know, even public land. A lot of people will hunt up a patch of public land, yeah, but people don't like to talk about it and tell each other where it is.
That's it.
I'd just say to anyone, just study some maps, have a bit of a look around, go for a drive, get out in the bush, see what signs are around, study what the sign is. I didn't know much about deer at all. Like, I didn't even really know deer existed.
Yeah.
Until I started hunting with mates. And it's just more, just the learning curve. Like, you've got to do your research. You've got to, you know, have a look at how the prints go, what areas different deer hang in and what they like to have around them. Hunted a lot of properties that, like, there's just no fallow deer around. And, like, always get told about fallow deer and had no idea about them.
What do you find harder to hunt, Sambar or fallow?
Oh, Sambar, definitely. Yeah. So they're just... Their ears are just like next level. Like, I hunted an opposite gully to you guys this afternoon, and I had a doe blasting me on the opposite face, but the wind was at her back.
Yeah.
So, but she still knew I was there. Like, she would have been 150 metres off me.
She was pretty crunchy through there.
Yeah.
Cornflakes.
Like, that's what I call it. Bottom,
yeah, it was cornflakes.
Yeah, so yeah, it's just, they're just a different kind of animal. Like, people don't understand. They're a big animal. I tell people that's like a cow in the bush.
Yeah.
But they blend in so well. If you're not 100% looking and knowing what you're looking at, you just don't see them.
Well, compared to the fallow, man, like, fallow just stand out like a fucking...
Yeah. As small
as bamboo's ass, man. Dead set. Like, they do. And it, yeah, the sambar, they do. And they bed
in. So, like, fallow are so pretty, where sambar are just plain old brown. Like,
yeah.
Yep. You know, they got the cute little teddy bear ears, little round. Like, they're still a gorgeous animal.
Oh, Bambi! Yeah, Bambi tastes good too.
nine times out of ten, you're chasing sambar. The only part of the deer that you're going to see is that red ass as they bark at you, turn around and piss off.
I was lucky. The bushes were too high to see that. I just seen ears and neck, and that's where I stuck that lead in the back of the neck. You seen the entry and the exit. It was
yep.
Couldn't have been better.
Oh, exactly. Especially for meat.
Only deer I actually saw today was just that red ass going through the bush. I got blasted, and by the time my eyes got to where it was just that red tail and ass going through the bush, and I went, oh, well, nothing you can do. Once they've made you, there's very rare you're going to get them to come back and be able to get a shot on.
Well, we pulled those fallow up pretty good just by doing the little doze. Yeah.
You know, like they respond to that. Yeah, like the Samba whistle that you get, it works and it doesn't. Sometimes if they've made you out and you're sticking out like real bad, you got no cover around you, I think it's game over.
So you'd use it to pull them up, try and pull them up?
Yeah.
Or would you use it like during like the prime calving time or?
I think all year round, because Samba are one of those things that are all year round. Yeah. And like, I've seen them. Yeah, I've seen the Samba stags, velvet in the middle of the winter, blah, blah, blah. I've seen carve all year. It's carve all year round, but they do have the majority of the time. But I think it works a lot, all the time, all year round nearly.
Yeah.
And
what do you find it works better on, Samba hinds?
Hinds, straight up.
What about stags? How do they kind of react?
Haven't had a proper experience of a stag.
Yep.
I know blokes that have blown it around them, but look, you might get them to
slow down
and go, hang on, was it something that I'm thinking it was, or is it this baby deer barking at me? But I think six times out of ten it's the stag's gonna keep going. But a hind, I've had hinds honking at us knowing that it's something that shouldn't be there, and then run off, blow the whistle and goes, what the hell? And run back to us, and then go, oh crap, you know.
That's a killer.
You gotta read the honks on the Samba does too. Like, you say they all sound the same, they sound similar. They have got different barks to, you know, different things. If they're not real sure about what you are, their barks, like a very unsure, should I really be barking at this thing?
Kind of like a fallow when they bark.
Yeah, if you get a doe that barks at you very unsure, the 100% the whistle's going to work. Like, you'll blow the whistle and they'll come to you. But then, if they know exactly what you are, you've jumped them, and they just blast you, like that, the typical Samba, like they're just telling you to fuck off, and they go, bark, and boom, and they're gone, that's when blowing the whistle's going to do nothing. Like, it's not going to bring them back. They've made you. But yeah, when you get the unsure bark, or you just see a bit of movement in the bracken fern, like we were hunting the gully last year, and I just seen a bit of bracken move a little bit. And I said to Callum, where is a deer over there? So he got the whistle out, and he whistled a couple of times, and she came in with 20 metres off us.
That's killer.
And just off from one side, come into 20 metres and stood there looking at us, like we just stood still, and she just stood there looking at us, and then eventually she just turned around and off she went.
Sounds like perfect bow style.
Yeah. I reckon for any Samba hunter that's after meat, I think if you can blow your whistle in time after a first honk and you see the deer starting to move, you're a chance.
Yeah.
She's honking because she's doubting herself. She doesn't know what you are, and she's just honking for the sake of honking and to figure out what you are. Other than for the normal honk where one's pinpointed you and she ain't moving, she's either moving to run or she's just, you know, she's barking at you to let everyone know. That and the tail, I think. Yeah. And, the Samba whistle.
Ears up, tail up.
The whistle's good and bad, I think. And then it's, just go out and use it.
Yeah. Nice killer.
You'll soon learn, like, to read the situations when you should be blowing it, when you shouldn't. Like, the doe that was with Callum Stag, I probably shouldn't have blown the whistle, because she had a baby with her. So she knew 100% that I wasn't her baby.
Yeah.
That's why she blasted me every time we blew it.
Yeah, because just baby just wasn't in a hurry to move. She didn't know what was going on.
Tiny little one.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Well, anyway, fellas, that's an hour, and it's been a long day and that, so I reckon we'll wrap that up. Thank you guys for coming on. I know I kind of just threw the recorder out and said you're doing a fucking podcast, but because I didn't get any content today, but I think it's been a good chat and enjoyed it and had a great afternoon. We had some good food tonight.
It's just been a ripping day in general, really.
Yep. I don't think, other than maybe having a bit more colder when we were out hunting. Yeah, I don't think you could ask for a better hunt.
She was a bit warm. I was a bit drenched day when we come back. So, yeah, but I
can't wait to have a shower, that's for sure.
Wouldn't trade it. I reckon I'm going to go for a dip in the creek.
Get the gas hot water system going.
That's too luxury.
Mate. No. This is the Victorian experience, mate. It's not the South Australian experience.
I knew Victorians were soft.
You're gonna.
I didn't know you were this.
You're
soft.
Gonna jump in there. You're gonna get to your ball balls, and you're gonna go shit, Callum.
That's. I'm just gonna jump in there.
Callum, get out of that shower real quick.
Wim Hof it, mate. Wim Hof.
Yeah, we've got the fire.
So wet in the creek, and then jump straight in the swag, shivering.
At the end of the day, though, you're not gonna be sweaty, stinky in the swag. That's all that matters.
Easy, fellas. Thank you very much. And thank you very much for this opportunity to come out. And I look forward to hunting with you guys in the future.
Yeah, with any bit of luck in September, we can do another podcast around the fire after you shot a stag.
Yep, that's 100%.
There you go.
Exactly.
You just have to take the chain off for the photos.
Yes, that's it.
Only joking, guys. But thank you for listening. And I hope you guys have enjoyed this different style of podcast.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of Hunting Connection Podcast. We hope you've enjoyed our discussions and gained valuable insights into the world of hunting, fishing, and the outdoors. To stay connected with us and never miss out on an update, please be sure to follow us on social media, all at Hunting Connection Podcast. We appreciate your support and would love for you to share the podcast with your friends and family. Don't forget to tag us in your hunting photos on social media and let us know about your experiences. Your feedback is invaluable to us, so please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. Together, we continue growing and delivering more captivating episodes for all hunting enthusiasts. Stay connected, stay informed, and keep pursuing your passion for the hunt. Until next time, happy hunting.